Lubbock, Texas.
Hey, there are a lot of people at Texas I like, but this isn't the time for that. I deeply hope we beat their ass today.
I've been counting all my steps. All my no's just turned to yes. Silently, I must confess my troubled history. This washed away all my sins. Starting over once again. This is where it all begins. It's right in front of me. Down is not where I belong. This aching heart won't turn to stone. There's a fire inside these bones. It was meant to be. I see your world still full of light. How could I ever been so blind? I still haven't lost my fight that haunts me in my sleep.
This is a big weekend. I mean,
oh, yeah.
This is huge. We're going to get into it, but this is a huge Thursday game for Texas Tech. I know we're bowl eligible. I know the bye week has us in a little malaise like the season is over, but this is huge, and this is the Air Raid Preview Podcast. I know it's on a Sunday, but it's the Preview Podcast. Team optimism is in full force. Jonathan's here with me. Say hi, Jonathan.
Hey there, Ryan. How you doing today?
Doing good. It's early. Usually we're doing this really late at night, and it is early because of all the family coming in, and you're flying out, and all sorts of shenanigans. But before we get to the preview, going over UT and what they bring to the table, let's talk a little bit about what happened yesterday in the Big 12.
Sounds good.
And we're just going to skip over West Virginia and Kansas. Because thank goodness it's basketball season, right?
Yeah. Yeah, except not to go too off track, but I saw North Carolina already lost.
Yeah, they got beat. That was actually a fun game to kind of watch. They did lose. I really don't, off the top of my head, can't remember who they lost to. But they got lit up. Just three-pointer after three-pointer after three-pointer. Kansas has something to look forward to now that basketball season is getting into full swing. And one of these days we're going to have to talk about, you know, our awesome soccer team, and they were unfortunately lost to Auburn in the NCAA tournament. And, we could talk about – we need start talking about our basketball program at some point. But for right now, we're going to skip over West Virginia and Kansas. I mean, there's nothing more you can say about having 42 points at halftime and then taking your foot off the gas and winning 49-0. Let's jump right into Iowa State and Kansas State. Do you think this kind of seals the deal on Paul Rhodes at Iowa State, losing two games late in the fashion that he did?
I do think he's gone. I thought he was gone after the game against us, where he didn't use here he came out throwing the ball right away, and that led to the pick. I believe that was the first play of the game.
Yes.
And I just didn't think that was the right thing that they should have been doing. And we beat him pretty handily. And then, like you said, the couple games in a row where they've lost like that. I saw something that said with a minute and a half left in the fourth quarter, ESPN said, according to their stats, that Kansas State had a 1.3% chance of winning.
Yeah. They've done that so many times with Michigan State games, so.
Right, and I think a lot of that is just on Kansas State. They don't give up. They played us really hard all the way to the end.
Yeah, and that's a credit to Bill Snyder, absolutely.
Right, exactly, and his teams don't quit. You've got to finish strong against him, and I guess Iowa State didn't get that memo.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here looking at their schedule, Iowa State schedule, and after they got blown out by us, they played TCU hard for three quarters, and they played Baylor relatively hard. That was the Seth Russell neck injury game.
Okay.
They were kind of hanging with them up until the very end. It kind of got out of hand, and then Iowa State came back, and then it got out of hand at the end.
Right.
Then they shut out Texas. They have Oklahoma and Norman, and that was obviously a blowout. But then they lose by four to Oklahoma State, and then they lose by three to Kansas State, both games that technically, if we're being fair, they should have won both of them. With the way their, you know, the lead was in both areas. But yeah, that was tough. I think if he wins both of those games, he's got a chance to be bowl eligible.
Right.
You know, with the win over West Virginia, which I think is huge. I think that it actually exceeds expectations for this squad. But
oh, definitely. Yeah.
But as it is, only one of these teams could have been fighting for bowl eligibility. And you know, if this is Bill Snyder's last hurrah at Kansas State, at least he has that chance going forward. Because they are now 4-6 with two games to go.
Right, and there's a lot of talk out there that there will be more bowls available than six-win teams this year. So there's a chance that some five-win teams are going to be getting into a bowl game.
Oh, that's just crap.
Yeah.
I think they should just leave it off.
And just... Yeah, and they keep adding more bowls. I think there's like 81 bowls now.
81?
Yes.
I thought it was 41.
Or maybe it's 41. And there
41
were
8, and there's like 82
teams. Yeah. Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. So. At least that's what it was last year. And it's funny, if you go back to just 10 years ago and you look at the number of bowls, and it is a much smaller. It's like half. It's like 20 bowls. So, and we can kind of throw that into Texas Tech about how impressive it actually is to get bowl eligible. I know it doesn't seem like it, but if there are more bowls available than six-win teams, I think that's huge.
Oh, yeah, especially to get bowl eligible a week ago.
Yes.
It wasn't a last minute, even though it was our second-to-last game. The fact to do it before rivalry week, which I guess we don't have a rival since we didn't play.
Yeah.
But it's great to go ahead and get us that sixth win early enough in the season. Takes a little bit of pressure off of us this last game.
Yes. So let's move on to Baylor, Oklahoma State. Baylor was in control of this game pretty much from the outset. Oklahoma State kept it close early, but even against Stidham. And then he left with a tight back, and then they had a converted wide receiver that they moved over after Seth Russell's injury.
Right.
What's his name? Johnson?
Yeah, Chad? Chris Johnson?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And he played outstanding. He threw a beautiful ball several times. Looked like he had been a quarterback his entire life. I think he was a quarterback at some point. They moved him to wide receiver. And now they've kind of moved him back. But 45-35, that game wasn't, I don't even think, that close.
No.
I think it was 38-14 at one point. So that tells you everything you need to know there. I will say that kind of, I don't know whether that makes us look better or worse. Oklahoma State really hasn't looked really impressive since the TCU win. At home, and we'll get to the TCU Oklahoma business in just a second. But they had comeback win against us, and then they blew out TCU.
Right,
and they struggled against
Iowa State,
and then they got beat by Baylor. And this is kind of a It's you knew it was bound to catch up with them. They've been on borrowed time in this playoff system for so long, from going back to the Texas game when they were on, they needed help. When they went to Kansas State, they needed help. They needed help against West Virginia. They needed help against us. And now it kind of, they needed help against Iowa State, and now it caught up with them at Baylor. So, anything jump at you there?
Yeah, the total rushing yardage for Oklahoma State, eight.
Eight?
Yes.
I thought you were going to say Katie Cannon, who had 210 yards on not like 16 catches, but five.
Yeah, that's just what Baylor does. And I think it was a really good bounce back game for them. It's really good to go in there, a place where they haven't had a lot of success against an undefeated team, and just pretty much do what they wanted to do. They made Oklahoma State play the way that Baylor wanted them to play. And that's hard to do for a team that had been undefeated this long into the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to set up for an interesting Bedlam game. Because I can see Oklahoma State pulling that one off, which would screw everything up and
burn chaos, it down.
Chaos would reign.
Burn it down. We were talking about that on Slack. I'm just so ready just to just burn the playoff down, especially Iowa State losing, mass hysteria. It's just awesome. Speaking of, I agree. I think Oklahoma State actually beats Oklahoma next week. And I think Baylor wins out. I think they win the Big 12 championship, actually.
I do, too.
I see that happening more than any other scenario. But let's talk about those land thieves for just a minute. I love that term that I saw from Hunter. Beat the land thieves. They escape by the hair of their chinny chin chin.
Mm-hmm.
Or the length of Baker Mayfield's beard. One of the two. But Baker Mayfield leaves at halftime with what has been described on ESPN as a headache. I think everybody else would say it was concussion. I don't know whether that means they didn't do concussion protocol or they're just trying to be clever. But for any reason, he had a blow to the back of the head. I think it was targeting. The guy was ejected. And he leaves, and after that, it kind of gave rise to all the Sooners that I was talking to, all my friends saying, see, this is why Knight sucks. And, he can't run this offense. And I'm like, yeah, because he got all of, what, two reps in practice this week?
Yeah.
And, credit to TCU coming back in the second half the way they did and some questionable calls. But I still think Knight could run this offense. All they have to do is keep handing it to P. Ryan and Mixon. The thing that really hamstrung them is both P. Ryan and Mixon started to get banged up there. And it was weird because P. Ryan looked like he was hurt worse than Mixon. But he came back.
But he came back and he had that great run.
Yes.
That put him up. I think it was 30-13 at the time.
Yes.
And it looked like I thought at that point that the game Oklahoma was going to go Oklahoma's way. I thought they were going to start running the ball a lot better than they had been all game. I thought P. Ryan looked healthier on the field, at least.
Yes.
Over on the sideline, it looked like Mixon was just a better choice. But obviously, P. Ryan was able to break off that one run, and then they didn't do anything after that.
Yeah, they had 200 yards of offense in the third quarter. They had 48, I think, in the fourth quarter. That's a drastic change. It allowed TCU to get back in it. Everybody blames Knight for that pick. Yeah, he threw a pick. But really, I think this one, with a third-string quarterback, this one's on your defense.
Definitely.
For whatever reason. And we could go back to the Gary Patterson going for two in the third. I think that was too early to do it, especially with how his in what would have been some very, very easy fourth and distance calls, he decided in favorable field position, he decided to punt it several times in the third quarter, and then he goes for two, which it kind of sends mixed signals.
Yeah, it's a lot of the stuff that a lot of people have blasted Cliff about.
Yeah.
A lot of inconsistency kind of stuff. Either be bold or be conservative. Don't be both.
Yeah.
And it reminded me, I know somebody mentioned it in Slack last night, it reminded me a lot of the Tech Baylor game of last year.
It was me.
Okay, that was
Team you. Optimism. I mean, we're on the same page here.
But, yeah, Cliff went for two a little early in the game and didn't make it, and then had to go for two at the end of the game just to tie it. But if TCU had not gone for two earlier, they would have only needed one last night to win.
Exactly. And I'm always a big proponent of, until it gets into the fourth quarter, and we've been around Tech comebacks long enough to know you can get back into a game really fast. And you don't necessarily need to start reaching early. Just kind of stay within and don't take points off the board. Kick your field goal, get your point, because even though it seems kind of arbitrary, that one point could mean a lot at the end. It could kind of dictate what you decide to do, you know, 20 minutes from now, game time. And I think it's just, I thought it was a bad call then, especially the play call, fade to the back corner.
Yeah.
No real chance for him to, for Lissenby to catch it. He's not the biggest of guys.
Right.
And then I thought the play call there at the end of the game was good. He just didn't loft it enough. And anyway, Oklahoma still talks about being in the playoff.
Yeah, that'll end quickly.
Well, you say that. I'm sitting here on Facebook. Let me pull up my friend. He keeps wanting a shout out. I refuse to do it. I refuse to do it, Matt. Oh, I guess I just
did. You just did, yeah.
I just did. I didn't say his last name, though. So there's a post, and it says there's a picture that says, "Does it matter anymore? OU versus OSU, just another Big 12 game." And that's kind of a picture, and the caption is, "We need to hear some conspiracy theories or options for OU. The committee hates the Sooners." Well, hate is a strong word, but unlike is something the kids say today. Really?
Yes.
And we talked about it again. No one is impressed by your 1-point victory over TCU at home with their third-string quarterback. And no one's really impressed by your 10-point victory in Waco without Seth Russell. I mean, both the teams that you've played that were supposed to be big-time opponents didn't have their big offensive weapons. And
right.
I don't think it's the same game. Every game is different, and I credit OU for handling business when they have the opportunity to. But it's on paper, it doesn't jump out at you like it should.
TCU has been terrible on the road this year.
Yes.
And even with that game in Lubbock, I think if that had been in Fort Worth, it would have been a lot different. They're just not a good road team this year. And you're going to see a much bigger fight from TCU this Friday in Fort Worth against Baylor than you saw against Oklahoma. And it's more impressive when you win those games on the road. And also, if we're going to talk about playoff implications, their loss is not a quality loss.
Yes, I think we were talking about that in Slack as well.
Yeah, probably. but yeah, losing to Texas, may end up 4-8 this year,
mm-hmm.
At the very best, I think they go 5-7. I don't think they have a chance against Baylor. They have a much better chance of winning on Thanksgiving night against us than they do against Baylor.
Yes.
Because that game is in Waco. You're not going to win that game. That whoever's quarterback, whoever Bryles plugs in for quarterback, that game is going to torch that defense. I don't care what happens. But yeah, losing to Texas is not good.
Okay. Yeah. So time out real quick. Let's, I want to get your top four. I think everybody in Slack for the writers of Viva the Matadors, we all basically had the same top four after this week. And the only question came from another writer who said it was a toss-up on their fourth spot, and we'll get to that in just a second. But I want to hear your top four for the playoff real quick.
Clemson 1, Bama 2, and then I actually have Baylor as 3, and Michigan State as 4.
So completely different than what was going on in Slack.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. I actually had Clemson, Bama, Iowa, and Notre Dame. And I think the other writer was talking about how his toss-up, he had the same four as I did, but the toss-up was between OU and Notre Dame. And I said, it's not even close. And that's where that quality loss came in. I said, Notre Dame's only loss was to the number one team in the country.
Right.
OU's is against a very, very bad Texas team.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even like you played a great game and they just played out of their minds. Y'all looked awful.
Yeah, they looked terrible.
Yeah, and I know it's an OU thing to get that wake-up call early, and then you start playing like a possessed team later on, but that gets kind of old really fast.
Right, and I guess some of it is, what is the committee going to look at? Are they going to look at a whole body of work, or is it going to be more of what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, I mean, the poll's always... what have you done for me lately? It's always better to lose early than late.
Right.
But I do have a question, because you threw Baylor in there at 3, which I do understand. I think you're going to be having some hard-pressed Sooner fans trolling us on this in the comments.
That's fine.
Because they're like, wait a minute, you have Baylor at 3, but we just beat Baylor in Waco? And then you have Michigan State, which I do agree is a good team, but two last second wins that probably shouldn't have been. There's a stat on TV last night that said they only led both of those games against Michigan and Ohio State. The only point that they led the game was when the clock read 0 in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And I don't even think that counts towards an actual time of possession style lead.
No, you were losing or tied for 60 minutes of a 60-minute game, yet you came away with a victory.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if I'm super impressed with them. What jumps out at you about them?
I have them over Iowa just because they've had to play the big boys and Iowa hasn't. The Big Ten, the way the divisions are, remind me a little bit of how the Big 12 used to be. With all the powerhouses, you had UT, OU, and A&M down in the south, and up north you had Nebraska, who had quite a few good years, but other than that, it was a doormat.
Well, they kind of flip-flopped because they're at the end of the 90s into the early 2000s. It was kind of the opposite because Tech hadn't risen yet. Oklahoma State hadn't risen yet. You did have those three, A&M, UT, and Oklahoma. But in the north, you had Mizzou, Kansas State, Nebraska. You had a rising Kansas team. So I just think it was – they kind of flip-flopped. I think that if we still had those divisions, it would be flip-flopping again. But I understand what you're saying, absolutely. Blame it on the schedulers.
Yeah, a lot of it is just you can only beat who's on the schedule. It's not Iowa's fault that they're not scheduled to play any of the big boys in the Big Ten this year. It'd be like, I think we had one year where we didn't have to play Nebraska or Mizzou. We got lucky and didn't have to play three of those six in the north. And on some years that really helped, and on some years it really hurt. But you can only play who you're scheduled to play. Unfortunately, I think, because that goes back to the strength of schedule argument that a lot of people are going to bring up for Baylor. Baylor's playing a bunch of Division III high school teams in their non-conference, which is true, but that schedule was made 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes.
I mean, we're already looking that we're playing Wyoming in 2022.
Yeah. And we're probably paying them a pretty penny to do it.
Yeah, I just hope that's a September game and not a November game.
Yeah, we don't even have time to get into the SEC troubles right now. I mean, you know, we're getting to this point of the season. I feel like we need to have more. I know we absolutely, I think we're maxed out, but it would be fun to have another podcast just to have, hey, this is what's happening overall in college football, instead of just specifically Tech. But
we can do that during bowl season if we need to.
That's true. That's true. That'll be a fun time. I just feel like we're kind of in a doldrum right now with this bye week. I don't know what to do with myself.
Just enjoy football and not have to worry about what Tech is doing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's take a really quick break and come back and let's preview the Longhorns.
Sounds good.
Hey, stop texting, man.
Stop texting. Hey, Cliff!
Keep your head in the game. Don't text and drive.
So you can look out for cliffs, like me.
Help Alderson in the fight to stop texting and driving today.
This is Texas Tech University.
We inspire.
We discover.
We succeed.
We ride.
We share our traditions.
And our innovations.
We are champions.
We work hard.
And play louder.
We are many things.
But wherever we go.
And whatever we do.
Every day.
Every day.
Todos los días.
Every day.
Every day, we are Red Raiders.
Okay, so we're back, and we're talking the preview of Texas Tech and Texas. The last time that we beat Texas in Austin, Bill Clinton was president.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm. So, wide consensus is, just off the top, just kind of introduction, is if we don't beat Texas in Austin this year, it may never happen. No pressure, though.
Yeah.
And like I said in introing the podcast completely, and I'm going to get your take on this, I think this is a huge game, and the thing that concerns me is that we had been fighting for so long. We were 5-2, and we've been fighting for so long to get bowl eligible, and we kind of ran into a kind of a rough gauntlet with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and West Virginia, and didn't really, you know, got to 5-5 really quick. And two of those games in position to win just didn't get it done. And now I feel like, okay, we're bowl eligible, and I feel like we may kind of coast into bowl season.
Yeah, it's a Thursday night game. It's on a holiday. It's not in Lubbock. It's against a down Texas team.
Which makes me feel even more kind of apprehensive about this, because I don't know what Texas team is showing up.
And that's been Texas's thing all year long. Is it the Texas team that showed up against Oklahoma, Kansas State?
That looked like they had something to prove?
Right. Or is it the team that showed up against Iowa State?
Yeah.
That looked, I don't know how you can
lost.
Put into words how bad they looked that day.
Yeah.
Or is it the team that showed up to West Virginia and had some good moments, but then turned the ball over a few too many times and couldn't pull it out at the end? You know they're going to be fighting because, like I said earlier, this is their one game that they're going to have a chance to win this year. I know everybody says there's always a chance to win, but going into Waco, there's not a chance to win.
And they're 4-6 right now, so if we're going to be completely objective, they need to win out to become bowl eligible.
Right.
And just like we were last year against Baylor, and nobody gave us a chance to win that game. And yes, some fortunate things went our way, some unfortunate things didn't. But at the same time, the last game of the season against a better opponent, that is your bowl game, especially at home.
Right.
Especially on senior night, you know, there's I think, again, it's kind of a perfect storm with the down team. If we were a top five team, everybody would be yelling, this is a trap game.
Mm-hmm.
But to look at the stats, to just look at it on paper, it is not good.
They're 118th in the nation in passing yards.
Yes. 75th for points at 27 a game, 86 with 29.9 against. I think their main thing is rushing, and I think if I'm Charlie Strong, I just say Donta Foreman, their running back, who we talked about last or Hunter and I talked about last week, just needs to be the workhorse and say, here we go.
There is the chance that he won't be playing.
Oh, is there?
He had surgery on a finger this past week. And last I heard is he was still questionable.
Oh, they'll tape it up.
So, yeah, they'll tape it up. He probably won't be full capacity. He won't be 100%. But they do have Hurd.
Yeah.
And we've seen how athletic quarterbacks can give us problems. It happened against Oklahoma State. But then it didn't happen against Kansas State.
Yes.
Their leading rusher is their quarterback.
And I think the game plan for Texas has to be the same game plan that we had for Kansas State.
Load up the box and make them throw.
Yeah, David Gibbs and Coach Kingsbury listen to this podcast apparently. So load up the box. Say, you're going to beat us through the air. And if you beat us through the air, we're going to tip our hat and say, hey, good job, but you're not beating us on the ground.
Right.
And just sell out that way. I think, again, you say, Bethel, the way you've been playing, you've been awesome. Get the ball hawk, Deshaun Johnson back there, you know, Tevin and everybody, and just say, all right, y'all are on an island. Go get it.
Right.
I agree.
And I think one of Cliff's greatest strengths, other than recruiting, is how he plans for teams. And I know Texas has been off the same amount of time that we have. They had a bye week this weekend too. But he's had 10 days to prep for UT.
Yes.
And he was playing that, I believe it was the 2002 game that he won against Texas. So he wants to beat Texas. Last year didn't go very well. I know Mahomes got knocked out pretty early in the game, and then just stuff wasn't working. But I think this year that he'll be able to game plan the guys, and as long as he can keep them focused, even with the holiday and the end of the semester coming up and the bowl game, they know they're going to get to travel to go somewhere. Could be Houston, could be somewhere else. But they've got to be strong between the airs for this game.
Well, I completely agree. I want to get your take on what type of mental state the team is, you think, is going to be in on Thursday. Are we going to see them come and try to kind of impose their will running the football with DeAndre? Are they going to be trying to be more finesse? I mean, how's their body language going to be? But I'll just throw out one thing, because I do agree, Kingsbury is great when he has time to plan for a team. The more time you give them, the worse it's going to be for you. However, again, a very different team, a very different team that we're playing, a very different coach, all that. However, 2013, he had time to plan for UT, and we only put up 16 points, and 7 of that was a kick return or a fake punt.
Fake punt. That wasn't supposed to be a fake punt.
Yeah, by Erksleben. So things go weird, and I mean Austin's weird.
Yes,
I mean Austin's weird, and I do think the mystique of you know Austin and the Royal, as I call it, has changed a little bit. However, it's still a dangerous place.
Right. And I think the difference is going to be resting on Mahomes. I don't know how much of the game from last year he remembers. because after that hit, I think he tried to go over to the UT sideline or go into their huddle or something happened where he didn't know where he was.
Yeah, I think from looking at the I was looking at that game because of the targeting on Deshaun, just kind of seeing how one call was targeting and how another one isn't. And he got up and fell on the ref.
Okay.
The ref went over there and asked him, "Hey, are you okay?" And he said something like, "No, I'm fine," and then kind of stumbled into the ref. And then the ref, looked over at Kingsbury and said, "You got to get him out of here."
Yeah.
Who knows? He may have tried to run back out on the field and say, "No, I'm good. I'm good." But, yeah, and, you know, last year for a bad defense, our defense gave us a chance to win that game as well, playing out of their mind. We just didn't have Webb available. And then Mahomes went down, so we were stuck with Testaverde.
Right, and I think this year our defense is really, really improved. If you go back all the way to the Oklahoma State game, the run defense, which has been our weakness all year, actually had a really good game.
Yeah, last couple weeks.
They did fantastic against Kansas State as well.
Mm-hmm. That was our best game.
Right, yeah. And so I think our defense is really starting to gel, starting to come together, starting to believe in Gibbs. And I think Gibbs is starting to understand what his players can do. And he's been able to implement his scheme a lot better. And I think we're starting to really see that. And hopefully we see it continue Thanksgiving night. The one thing that we've got to be careful with are going to be calls. There's not going to be calls going our way. It's just what happens when you play in Austin. Not saying there's a conspiracy, but you've got to be better than what the calls are going to be.
Yeah,
you can't hope and pray that you're going to get a pass interference call. You've got to be up 10, so if that call does come in, it doesn't hurt you.
Well, and I think the goal for any coach in any sport, including myself, is you know there's always going to be marginal calls, and the message you send to your team is if at the end of the game you're unhappy with the outcome and it's resting or reliant on a bad call, you didn't do your job.
Right.
Don't let the refs have a say in the outcome of the game. Go out Definitely. And dominate, and like you were saying, and don't even let it become an issue. Yeah.
I'd like to see a heavy, heavy mix of DeAndre.
Yeah.
Just as a kind of a personal thing. It'd be great if he could get to 1,500 yards this year. He needs around 250 between the last two games, which is completely doable for him.
Yeah.
But just as almost a little selfishness, I want that for D-Wash. He's been a fantastic player, both on the field and off the field, and I feel like we deserve to get him that 1,500.
Yeah, and I want to see a stable of running backs go on Thursday. I want to see, obviously, Stockton's going to get the ball in space, not necessarily between the tackles. But I think if you're wanting to rotate someone out in between the tackles, for someone who's big, fast, physical, it's Q.
Oh, definitely.
I've been calling for it, you know, for a while now, you and I. But I think this is... Unfortunately for Q, I think he's a great talent, but I think the window on his career at Texas Tech is closing
mm-hmm.
With who he's got coming up behind him and who everybody's excited about next year with Corey Dauphine and even Felton is looking good. But as a junior, you know, with the people that he's got around him, I don't know if his time at Texas Tech is going to be what he thought it was going to be. I think that's kind of been seen with his move towards kind of a pseudo fullback position.
Right. Less of a tailback.
Yeah. But I think if you're wanting somebody to just eat up some carries and give DeAndre a rest, not that he necessarily needs one, but he's tough enough and strong enough to run between the tackles. And where Stockton may not feel as comfortable. I don't think Stockton really gets the most out of it between the tackles.
No.
So real quick, who do you think has a big game other than DeAndre and Mahomes? I mean, those are kind of givens. Who do you think has a big game or breakout game on offense, and who is our star of the game on defense?
Star of the game on defense, I'll start off there, is going to be Pete Robertson. I think with a more mobile quarterback, I think you're going to see him have a really good game. I think he's going to salivate on the chance to get to that quarterback, something he hasn't been able to do much this year. But it did look like against Kansas State, we were letting them go into the backfield a little bit more. I don't know if that was just part of the game plan where we were trying to stop the run. But I do think that he's going to have a really good last regular season game as a Red Raider. On offense, I'm going to go out to Lauderdale. He's had a pretty down year after all the high expectations at the beginning of the year, but really seemed to buckle down, and he played fantastic against Kansas State. He had that one catch and run where you could tell he was really trying as hard as he could to go ahead and get as far down the field. And for a big guy to be running across the field like that, you haven't seen really something like that since Crabtree.
Yeah.
As a Red Raider. And so that's what I'm looking for, Lauderdale and Pete.
Okay.
Who do you got?
That was just a question for you, but okay. I will go ahead and say I'm looking for a big game out of Tevin.
Okay.
And on offense, Giles. I think he's going to get some opportunities. I think Charlie Strong's going to bracket Jakeem. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to put his best corner on Lauderdale, which means that I think there's going to be some matchup opportunities on the other side of the football to whoever lines up out there. And I just assume it's going to be, trying to get Giles in space. It may be Reggie Davis, but I'm going to go with the youngin.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then because of Tevin, I think Charlie's going to realize that if he can't run, he's going to try and beat us through the air, and he's not going to want to challenge Bethel, so he's going to go after Tevin. And I'm going to look for Tevin to have a big game.
That's good, yeah.
Okay, so speaking of Devin, Mr. Lauderdale, the day after the win against Kansas State, he tweeted out what I thought was hilarious. He said, "I'm trying to sleep, but Paul blasting Drake." Paul being his roommate, Paul Banks. And I was like, man, I miss college.
I can't remember what day it was. I want to say it was Monday. And there were quite a few of the players that were on Twitter. Our deep snapper, Brenner, he did something. I'm not sure what he did or what he tweeted, but it was an act that wasn't going to be repeated or a tweet that got deleted. And there was a hashtag going around Yes. I think it was Stop David Brenner 2015.
Yes, I did see that.
And I know both Webb and Mahomes were going after him, and I think there was another player that was doing it as well. It was kind of good to see a little bit of the more lighthearted stuff between – we got to remember, these guys are kids.
Yeah, Davis Webb tweeted it out, Stop David Brenner 2015, Brad Pearson, and then Jason Morrow. Retweeted that.
That's right.
Devontae Hinton, I think, retweeted it. It got almost everybody. Let's go down the list. Amaro, Payne Sullins, Jadeon High, Patrick Mahomes, Tyler Scalzi, Nick Szymanek, Dylan Cantrell. I mean, it was just, I don't know what happened. Let's happen. Because that just seems like it was hilarious.
And then yesterday, Dakota Allen, I think it was Dakota. Maybe it wasn't him. I can't. It was him and Giles. Giles got looked like an edit, a background. And Dakota saw it and said, "How do you do that?" And Jaws told him that he got it. And he says, I ain't good enough for backgrounds yet.
Oh, but, my goodness.
I think he is already. And next year, watch out.
Yeah, I just think I think he's just that hungry. And he doesn't want to be unnecessarily or prematurely just given stuff. And I think for his mindset, he just wants to, you know, sit there and go, no, 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 don't give it to me. I'll go and take it.
Right.
Anyway, I love, you know, seeing the guys and how they interact and the stuff that goes on. I wish I knew a little bit more about Stop David Brenner. But, you know, if the long snapper is doing something suspicious, as Hunter would say, you got to stay woke. Yeah, you just got to be aware of it at all times, because those deep snappers, they're a funny bunch.
Yeah. Yeah, I know one thing that Quan did say, apparently people were making fun of him for it, because he asked the question, did y'all just hear that lightning outside?
We love you, Quan.
So, yeah, we're going to love you even more next year, I have a feeling.
Yeah. Yep. Did we just get breaking news?
Did something happen? The only breaking news I see is Romo on the field.
No, Hunter just tweeted something that was kind of I should know not to take him seriously. But it seems to be the news on Slack is Paul Rhodes is done. I don't know if he was just recently fired today while we're talking about it. But Hunter just tweeted, hey, that Ron Prince guy is still available to Iowa State. For y'all that don't know, Ron Prince is the coach that took over for Bill Snyder at Kansas State 06 to 08, and it did not go well.
I was going to say, he did real well.
Yeah, it did not go well, and that's...
Yeah, I saw there was a...
See, this is why we need to do this early all the time, because my goodness, do we get breaking news while we're doing it. It's like being on a new... Yep, Paul Rhodes fired as Iowa State.
Oh, breaking news.
Yeah, just 30 minutes ago, apparently.
Okay, right when we were talking about it.
Right when we were talking about it. Is he done? Yes. I didn't know this was live. Is this live?
Apparently, Iowa State athletic department has tapped our podcast.
Anonymous is hacking into my stuff. Sorry. Okay, so before I let you go, prediction time. What do you have on for the score, and how's this one play out?
I think we're going to start off real hot in the first quarter, and then kind of like the Oklahoma State game, let Texas back into it. But unlike the Oklahoma State game, I think we pull away at the end. And I'm going to say we win 42-24.
42-24.
Interesting. Yeah, I just don't think Texas has the offensive ability to keep up with our team if we can play the way that we know we can, if we can execute.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it'll be, if just like we've seen with a lot of teams, if they try to play shootout with us, they'll lose.
Right. It almost cost Texas in the Cotton Bowl.
Yes. I had this is one of my two redemption games. I thought we'd get the break the streak of however many years against Iowa State. I mean, not Iowa State, Oklahoma State. We hadn't beaten them since 2008. The other team we haven't beaten since 2008 at all, it was Texas. I know we haven't beaten them in Austin since 1997, but we haven't beaten them at all since 2008. And I had 41-28.
Okay.
In the preseason, I think that still looks pretty good. So, Yeah, my I have Dylan Cantrell having a great game. Except he's redshirted, so I said
I don't think he's going to drop any passes.
Thanks for making me feel better.
Of course, Cantrell, he is not one that you have to worry about dropping passes when he is playing.
Yeah. It's kind of surprising when he does drop a pass.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's just ridiculous. And I'm actually glad that we did get that red shirt on him and that he'll be around, what, 2 more years? Because he was a sophomore last year.
Yeah, so we'll have another 2.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that because him and Mahomes for another 2 years.
Yep.
Kind of being a safety valve. And I think, this is just me, I think Dylan is big enough. I mean, he doesn't have the girth, but he's big enough to play the Amaro slot.
Yeah.
With the hands that he has. I know they like him on the outside a lot. He doesn't necessarily have the speed to do that. There's only certain situations where you're going to use him there, but I really like Cantrell in that kind of oversized wide receiver spot that we've had actually a long list of people from Mickey Peters way back in the early Leach days. I think Brad Pearson is running that right now. So I can definitely see Dylan doing that. So,
yeah, and he would be a good safety valve because he's got the White House connection with Pat. Because I believe he is from White House as well.
There's a White House party.
So, good old White House, Texas.
Yeah, I was about to make a bad Obama joke. I refrained myself.
That's why you always edit stuff out.
That is true. That's the technical difficulty.
Yeah, he is from White House. So him and Mahomes played a couple years in high school together.
Good.
So
yeah, so a lot of good stuff to look forward to, everybody. Enjoy the game. We will be back. I don't know, Jonathan, what's your schedule like on next Saturday?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
So I'll let you know. But yeah, I should be down for a post-game podcast.
Okay. So that's the schedule, everybody, is we are planning to be back next Saturday. Give everybody Black Friday to not have to worry about getting on the podcast. And maybe we'll have Hunter and some of Team Wildcard on it as well. We'll recap it. We may add a podcast for the Bowls and the champion playoff, but we won't have a pod until a couple days before the bowl game, and then we'll have a recap. So only 3 left.
Yeah, we'll just have to.
It's gone by too fast.
It has, but we've got basketball season coming up, so we can have one every once in a while for those, and then baseball is going to start up soon too.
I'm excited about that as a baseball coach. Hunter tweeted out something about why every other sport is better than baseball.
And I saw that.
I said, we're no longer friends. Okay. Well, happy Thanksgiving, Jonathan.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. You have a good time with the family?
Well, have fun in Salt Lake.
No.
Oh, yeah. You're back before that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll be back Tuesday afternoon. So.
Well. Have a safe trip.
Thank you.
We'll catch you on the flip side, and Wreck 'em Tech.
Sounds good.